What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? That is the question Jesus asked those who had been asking him questions all the day. And they could not answer the way that Jesus framed that question. He said, if David then called him Lord, how is he David's son? They did not know that. We're going to study now an extra included in this little Sunday school book that E.A. Elam wrote that's titled, What Think Ye of the Christ? This follows a Sunday school lesson he had written for March 21st, 1926. And we'll get to that in just a moment. As our listeners know, this is the Warren County Radio Bible School. And the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And so now, for our Bible school lesson. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? To leave off the last part of this question destroys its force. Jesus did not ask what they thought of himself in comparison with other persons of earth and time, or of himself at all at this time, as it meant by the question as to what he thought of some great teacher, historian, philosopher, writer, inventor, statesman, ruler, warrior, etc. But of what family the scriptures teach he was to come? They answered this question correctly in Matthew 22:42. The son of David. In comparison with others, never man so spake like Jesus the Christ. In order to prove that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the Son of the living God, it is necessary first to establish the fact that he was of the seed of David. We can see that from the genealogies recorded by Matthew in Matthew 1 and Luke in Luke 3. If he were not of the seed of David, he could not be the Christ, however wise and good he was. The Christ must not only come from the family of David, but must fulfill every other promise which God made in this respect concerning the kingdom of David. Again, he must fulfill all the other prophecies concerning the Christ. In the synagogue in Thessalonica, Paul, for 3 Sabbath days, reasoned with the Jews from the Scriptures, opening and alleging, that is, affirming and proving, that it behooved the Christ to suffer and to rise again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom, said he, I proclaim unto you, is the Christ. Acts 17:2-3. Paul showed by the Scriptures that the Christ must be the Son of David, and also that he must suffer death and rise from the dead. Jesus of Nazareth, having fulfilled all these prophecies, is proclaimed to be the Christ. The chief priests and the scribes knew these prophecies from the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem of Judea, Matthew 2:3-6, to his coronation on David's throne. But not understanding the spiritual nature of the kingdom he would establish, and thinking and hoping he would rebuild the temporal and political kingdom of David, they rejected him, not understanding these prophecies and their fulfillment. They fulfilled them in abusing and crucifying Jesus. Hence, they could not answer Jesus' second question. If David then called him Lord, how is he David's son? They could not understand how the Christ could be both the son and the Lord of David. As we proceed, let us stop to learn this lesson. The Jews rejected Jesus of Nazareth as the Christ because the prophecies concerning him were not fulfilled according to their conceptions of what he and his kingdom would be. Just so it may be that some reject much of the truth and therefore teach error because of their misconceptions of the nature of Christ's kingdom, both here and hereafter, and of how prophecies may yet be fulfilled. To show the nature of Christ's kingdom, attention is called to the fact that Jesus teaches that in order to enter it now, one must be born anew, or born from above, or born of water and of the Spirit, John 3:3-8. This is one birth. This is not a birth of water at one time and of the Spirit later on, or of the Spirit at one time and of the water at a latter time. By this birth, one becomes a child of God, whether Jew or Gentile, and in this way is delivered out of the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of God's love, Colossians 1:13. Then, by suffering tribulation and proving steadfast in this kingdom, Revelation 1-9, or by diligently cultivating and developing all the Christian graces and becoming a partaker of the divine nature, there will be richly supplied unto one the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 1:1-11. Then, as the earth now stands corrupted and cursed by sin, it cannot be true that Christ will return to it in order to establish some temporal or political kingdom or any other kind with his throne in any other place, since he is already king in his spiritual kingdom, which is already here. The Israel of God, Galatians 6:5-16, is already here and has been since Christ ascended to heaven and his church became a habitation of God in the Spirit. And now, Jews or Gentiles who are of the faith, stand fast in the faith, walk by faith, and are sons of Abraham, Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise, Galatians 3:7 and verses 26-29. These are the Israel of God, the prophecies and promises concerning their spiritual kingdom cannot embrace Israelites in the flesh or exclude Gentiles who are children of God by faith. Not considering these statements concerning the Israel of God and how Jews and Gentiles alike become children of God and one people in Christ, one may miss the meaning and the fulfillment of some prophecies, as far as did the scribes and Pharisees in rejecting Christ. Some thought some other things of Jesus. Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, the teacher of Israel, said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God." The common people, or as a great multitude, it says in the margin of Mark 12:37, heard him gladly. And the multitudes were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. The chief priests and scribes, having delivered up Jesus through envy, had to electioneer among the people and stir them up in order to persuade them all to call for the release of Barabbas and the crucifixion of Jesus. Herod Antipas, although he mocked Jesus, confessed that he found no fault in him. Pilate, having heard the charges brought against Jesus by the Jews and having examined Jesus himself, said, "I find no crime in him." Pilate's wife said he was a righteous man. Demons acknowledged him to be the Son of God and asked, "Art thou come to torment us before the time?" The demons also believe and shudder. We know something of what Moses and Elijah thought of him, because they came to him in glory in the Mount of Transfiguration and talked with him of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. The apostles and disciples of Jesus confessed him to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. An angel announced to Mary that she would be the mother of the Son of God. Later, an angel proclaimed his birth while a host of angels sang his natal song, saying that his birth would rebound to the glory of God in the highest and peace and goodwill to men on earth. He himself said that Nathanael would see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. After his temptation, an angel came and ministered to him. In the dark and trying hours of Gethsemane, there appeared unto him an angel from heaven strengthening him. Angels watched round about the tomb, rolled back the stone, and announced his resurrection. Angels conducted him to his place at the right hand of God in heaven, where he was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And angels will accompany him when he comes again, a second time, apart from sin, to them that wait for him for salvation. When he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came down from heaven in the form of a dove and abode upon him. At the Jordan, when he was baptized, God confessed him as his beloved Son, in whom he was well pleased. On the Mount of Transfiguration, God again acknowledged him as Son and added, "Hear ye him." When he bringeth in the firstborn into the world, he said, "Let all the angels of God worship him." Having raised him from the dead, God made him sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. What shall we do with Jesus? In his attempts to release Jesus and yet to satisfy the Jews, Pilate asked, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" He had already declared that Jesus was innocent of the charges brought against him. He meant by this question whether he should release Jesus or crucify him. Jesus, envious accusers, replied, "Let him be crucified, and release unto us Barabbas." Pilate knew what should be done, and had power to do it, but he did not have the courage to do it. Of all despicable characters, it is the poor, trembling, cowardly soul who lacks the courage of conviction to do the right thing regardless of consequences. Not only did Pilate and the rulers of the Jews have to answer this question, but every responsible person now has to answer it for himself. Christ is the mightiest power in the world today, and must be dealt with. Some treat him with indifference, some with cold unbelief. Some deny his divinity. The promises and prophecies of God concerning him from his virgin birth to his coronation to heaven, yet would like to think that he was a righteous Jew and a great moral teacher, while very many others gladly accept him as the Son of God and Savior of the world. There can be no middle ground between the Jews' position that he was an impostor and blasphemer and the one that he is the Christ, the Son of God. He was announced by John the Baptist as the Christ. He claimed for himself that he was that prophet to come, the seed of David to rule as king upon David's throne, and the Son of God. The Holy Spirit testifies that this claim is true. God at different times confessed him before the world to be his only begotten and dearly beloved Son. If he is not all this, if he's a falsifier, an impostor, and a blasphemer, and John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit, and God himself would have borne false testimony. Jesus cannot be only a moral teacher and righteous and good man and not be the Son of God and Savior of the world, because if not the Son of God, he's a falsifier and a blasphemer, and therefore not a moral and righteous one. We'll continue this in the next class.